Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a fantastic day today. We're going to dig right into it. We've got a lot of other information. Want to kind of do a short recap with Dad on yesterday's show. We went into a lot of stuff very fast. Really good show. If you guys haven't heard it, I highly recommend you listen to it again. But we're just going to talk about a few basic things at the start here to kind of recap everything, Dad. So I'll let you start off with it. We'll go back and forth and see if we can go into a little bit more detail on a few topics that some customers have emailed us about. So, yeah, I'll let you have it for a minute.
Well, you know, we covered literally what we could have done in detail in 20 hours worth of programming yesterday. Yeah. Many of the shows that we've done have gone into detail in many of the topics that he talked about. The thing that I was really pretty much amazed about, because, you know, we do our own research and he does his own research, and he was former head one of the top guys of the CIA as far as workers. He basically has said that pretty much every single thing that we said was right. Now, that pretty much sums up what our research has shown. Now, I'm always a little bit leery when someone comes on the show and they want to argue with us, or they don't agree with some things that we found that we've vetted and we know are accurate. That's why I really like to tie in with the Mossad. I like to tie in with the Rothschilds. And if you guys noticed yesterday, I didn't say, and I said the international banking community, because I wanted to see what he'd do with that. And he immediately said the Rothschilds, Evelyn de Rothschild, and he started tying all the Rothschilds back into what was going on and how we had to get rid of the central bank and how we had to get rid of this Federal Reserve system that we have, which is exactly what we tell you guys. He also went into detail on the pedophilia that's happening, the child trafficking. He touched a few things that I was unaware of, and that's the organ trafficking and weapon smuggling and cash smuggling that's being done through our Air Force and military bases around the world, in which he actually said that the Air Force and military bases that are being used are kind of like lily pads for a frog, where they hop, 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 hop. So what we have is an entire network for the CIA now to be able to run their drugs, run their children, run their organs, run their cash, run their weapons, and do whatever they want to do in containers marked basically untouchable, military, top secret, whatever they want to put on them. And he also said that a lot of the stuff that's being shipped over from Afghanistan is coming in on civilian transports like passenger jets. Now, that was interesting because I didn't see that one coming. I really thought they would have done a little bit better than that. But he said once it's stamped, basically no touch, top secret, they don't touch anything. It's all treated the same way. So we've got a completely and totally corrupt government. He said that we have no idea, most people have no idea, how systemic this is with the child rape, the child pedophilia, the child sacrifice, the child endangerment, the drugs, the alcohol, all the stuff that's involved with Congress, and how so many of them have been compromised, which we've talked about repeatedly on the show, so we do have a pretty good idea how bad it is. And what I want to say something about this today, too, you know, when you've got a bunch of psychopaths running the show here, people have no remorse, no feelings, they're narcissistic, if they kill people, they don't really care. Their biggest fear is to be found out. In fact, I'm going to be talking about, I'll be on with Hagman tonight. I thought it was going to be tomorrow night. It's going to be on tonight with Hagman for 2.5 hours from 7:30 to 10 Eastern Standard Times. And I'm going to go into the psychopathic personality in depth on the show with Doug tonight, along with a whole bunch of other topics we're going to cover. But what I want to do is this. I want to let you guys know that these guys that are pulling the shots, these guys who are ruling the planet, these guys who have been basically installed by the Rothschilds, by this satanic group, they're recruited. They're either recruited or they're made, and they're made through fracturing their personalities. But most of the time in these bigger institutions like Harvard or Yale or some of these other colleges that really bring a lot of these folks to the forefront, they're found out because they fill out personality profiles and they find out, you know, who these people are. For instance, if they ask a question like, you know, if you saw somebody getting beaten up on the side of the road and you saw the person laying there and about to die, would you offer aid or would you ignore them and walk away? Now, the psychopath would basically ignore them and walk away. Anybody who wasn't a psychopath would say, oh, no, I try to find out, call 911, everything else. But the psychopath doesn't look at it like that. The psychopath just walks away. That's how these guys are able and willing and perfectly happy with ordering the death of 1 million people or 2 million people. I remember it was, I believe, Madeleine Albright said that when they asked, they'd lost 500,000 children in Iraq with the invasion. She said those were acceptable losses, that was like basically no big deal. They were acceptable losses. Well, any kind of normal human being would not say those are acceptable losses, that 500,000 children die. You know, in Germany, the same thing with Dresden. half a million people died in the bombing and the firebombing and the inferno bombing of Dresden right before the war was over with in 1945, almost all women and children and old men. Nobody in their right mind would think that's okay. But these guys think it's okay. And a lot of the psychopathic people end up going into Satanism, because Satanism truly is the one thing in which the ego, the self, is gratified above all else. And no matter who you are or what you are, you're going to try to do your best to get to somebody else before they get to you. It has nothing to do with the golden rule or walking in love like we're taught as Christians. So it's interesting when we talk about that yesterday, that we need to understand that the hierarchies of our government, the hierarchies, are pretty much all controlled by psychopathic personalities. People that have no empathy, no feelings, and no caring. Now, I don't believe this is Donald Trump. Now, here's why. Donald Trump really, really loves his family. Psychopaths really don't do that. They're pretty much, they'll put on a show like they do, but they really don't. You know, George Bush and those guys, I've met all of them, and they're all just a bit strange, but they were very nice when they met me, because remember, these guys will put on a huge act not to be found out what and who they are. So the reality is this. You know, we did a great show yesterday. It covered a lot of different topics. It covered a lot of different areas. It went into detail in some of the stuff that we've not talked about before. Went into some, it sketched over a lot of the stuff that we've covered in detail. But like Robert said yesterday, the most important thing we've got to realize is that, you know, we've got to get the information to Trump. He needs to be made aware of what's going on, which I believe that he is. I believe that his information has already gotten to Trump. And I also believe that Donald is aware of all of it. And at this point in time, personally, I believe he's just trying to stay alive. And I mean that very sincerely. I'm not saying that is not metaphorically. That is not hyperbole. That is exactly what I mean. He doesn't want to do a JFK. And so he's having to do whatever he has to do to try to make this thing work with all of these weird cast of characters who are involved with him in Washington and throughout the world. I mean, he's got some crazy people. I've never really met, well, I've met one person I would consider as a psychopath. One time, he was a promoter back in the 90s, that we, and I spoke for him a few times doing seminars, and he did a lot of other seminars with other peoples, and he basically was a megalomaniac. He was unbelievable. He thought he was God's gift to creation. He even put a video out on that he was a phenomenon, and you think I'm kidding you, I'm not. He would leave his wife for 28, 30 days at a time every single month and be up in another part of Canada. He never was available. He didn't care who he hurt or who he didn't pay or who he did things bad to. He hosed all of his employees, ended up selling a company that was worth nothing and getting someone else to absorb all the debt and made that other company go bankrupt. It was on and on and on. He would be the only true person that I would ever have seen that exhibits all of the psychopathic tendencies and personality traits. Absolutely cold, uncaring, and no, did not have any heart. And so it's kind of sad because he actually was, again, very, very scared that he'd be found out. And I did find out some stuff about him. He found out that I knew about it, and that was the end of our relationship, because he was afraid that I was going to blow the whistle on him, which I would not have done from a professional standpoint, because it was unprofessional to have done that. But it was interesting to me how the most important thing is when Pizzagate was released and Podesta's emails were released and the soul cooking parties were found out and WikiLeaks released it through the Wiener's emails and the FBI found it and all of this stuff happened. We finally began to realize that these guys are a bunch of perverts, and what they didn't want to have happen, and I believe that's what the Antarctica trip was for, and I believe the head guys who run the planet are down there in Antarctica. I know, as strange as that sounds, I actually do believe that because of all the no-fly zones and everything else that are going on in Antarctica. I really believe that there's a different fallen angel influence in our world, and I believe that these half-bred humans, Nephilim, or whatever you want to call them, or the fallen angels themselves are still, if they're still down there, or more of their cohorts have arrived, I believe that's probably where they base themselves out of, in these deep underground bases there. Now, whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. I've never been down there. But I know Dave Hodges feels the same way, and I know that when Admiral Byrd went down there in the 1947, 1948, with Operation High Jump, he ended up basically finding out that there was a bunch of stuff down there he don't want to know about. So the truth is this. We've got a government that's completely being controlled by psychopathic personalities. We've got a government that's being controlled by people who don't care about you or me. They consider us to be basically animals. They consider their DNA to be different than ours. They consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, the sons of the fallen. These are who these people are, and that's who's running the world. And you think, well, that sounds crazy. Hey, guys, it sounds crazy to me too. But there's no other plausible explanation that can explain what's going on this planet and these nutbags that are running everything and why all of the horrible things that they do, they think is okay. When we know how unbelievably bad these things are and they're not okay with us because there's a certain part of their brain that's just not quite like ours. They may indeed be something from a different race or a different species, and they don't have the ability to have empathy with us when something goes wrong, and they have no sympathy for anything they do to anybody. They really just are pretty much cold characters that just will do anything they have to get ahead and get better. You know, get more stuff and for greed. It's all about greed. It's all about avarice. It's all about just taking from everybody that you can possibly take from and laughing about it when you do it. So that's who these guys are. Those are the guys running the planet. That kind of sums it up in a really kind of a nutshell, but that's how I see it. Austin, what do you think?
No, that pretty much dials it right in, man. That's what we went over yesterday, and that's what's happening now. So there's the best thing we can do is pray and continue the best we can on all of our ends, and that's what we can do for right now. But also, too, I wanted to get into a couple different health things today because I haven't had a lot of time to get into some of the articles I had. This is a pretty cool article I found the other day about recess time at schools by Victor Bishop. And Texas schools now, multiple schools, one in particular now, have started tripling recess time and completely solved attention deficit disorder cases almost completely in the school. This is pretty wild now. Starts off here. It says, public education is more stressful than ever for our children. As standardized testing requirements increase and programs like art, music, and physical education are being completely phased out some schools. The result of this type of environment is predictable, and the medical establishment and big pharma are making a killing by drugging active children with ADHD medication and other psychotropic drugs to ensure conformity. Now, before I go any further in the article, that was an incredibly accurate depiction of what's going on. You have to think about, guys, 70, 80, 90, 100 years ago, when there were just basic small town schools, a lot of kids were homeschooled, a lot of the time was spent outside. They would have basic learning, you know, reading, writing skills, stuff like that, history lessons, mathematics, but large portions of the time they were outside working and they're outside playing. The school systems now have indoctrinated these kids into being slaves, into submitting into authority all the time, never asking questions, following the crowd, do exactly what they tell you to do, how they tell you to do it, when they tell you to do it. If you do anything otherwise, you get suspended or the cops come in and arrest you or take you to jail or they put you in detention at school. That happens all the time now. We've talked about that for years. So what a lot of the guys are starting to think about now, instead of going further and further into this ridiculous standardized testing, trying to push these kids into more classes with no outdoor time, and I'm talking about younger kids now, you know, in the early grades, kindergarten up through middle school, that's where a lot of this really needs to be occurring. And they found here now, now, of course, obviously, high-quality nutrients, supplements, and organic foods rather than processed snack foods and fast foods like they serve at school cafeterias also create a much more productive setting for children. That's just a fact. We already know that. But here now, Texas schools, which have quadrupled or tripled the amount of outdoor recreational time, have seen amazing results in terms of overall increase in focus and decreases in distraction and behavioral interruptions. According to today, the Eagle Mountain Elementary in Fort Worth, Texas, has been giving kindergarten through first grade students 2 15-minute reset breaks every morning and 2 15-minute breaks every afternoon to go outside and play. At first, teachers were extremely skeptical and worried about losing the classroom time and being able to cover all the material they needed with what was left. But now that the experiment has been going on now for almost 6 months, almost the entire school year now, teachers say the kids are actually learning more and doing better on testing, and they're able to focus in class and pay attention without fidgeting. They said the key to the success of the program is unstructured play 4 times a day to break up the physical and mental, just constant barrage of school on these young kids in the classroom, allowing developing minds and bodies to constructively use their energies so they may be more effectively applied in learning. So I thought that was very interesting, guys, as we see that these kids are constantly being forced into further education, these younger grades, as soon as they don't listen, as soon as they act up, as soon as they talk in class, the first thing they want to do is take them to detention and put them on Adderall. That's like the first thing they want to do now. Your kid's got ADD. He needs to be on Adderall if he wants to be in the classroom. Well, why don't we think of this from an outside perspective? Maybe a 5-, 6-, 7-, 8-year-old doesn't want to be in a classroom 5, 6, 7, 8 hours every single day having to learn your idiotic ideas like Common Core. Maybe that's just me. But I mean, I think I'm speaking here for a lot of younger kids, especially now that I see my son growing up and now he responds to having more open stimuli when he can run around, crawl around, walk, and stuff like that versus being in a playpen. I've really monitored a lot of his activities, his behavior, his development in different settings, and I've seen much more learning, much more activity, much more skills develop quicker when he has full, unfettered access to being able to walk around outside, crawl around inside, and do whatever he needs. So I thought this was interesting, Dan. I really wanted to bring it up today that quadrupling the recess time at this school has massively increased productivity with the kids. What do you think about that?
Well, school's monotonous. And when you start giving them things like, you know, you nailed it, Austin. When you start giving them things like Common Core, which make absolutely no sense, or you're trying to, instead of using phonics to teach them how to read, you're trying to teach them with the whole language, which is very ineffective. You know, you're teaching these kids how to read incorrectly. You're teaching them how to do math incorrectly. So they get there and they're bored half out of their mind because it's so bad. But now remember, the ADD thing was going on. It started way back in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. It wasn't too bad in the 80s or in the 70s, but in the 80s it started getting badder, worse, badder. The badder doesn't mean I must have ADD, right? So it started getting worse. And then by the 90s it was absolutely horrible. In fact, that's when we started doing so many of the radio shows that said that in the 90s, you know, we talked about the problems of ADD and ADHD, and that's when I wrote the book in early 2000 about that. And what was interesting about all of this is that the vast majority of these children with ADD and ADHD were deficient in omega-3 fats, like cod liver oil. They were deficient in B vitamins. They were being toxified with red dyes and blue dyes. Now, 20 years later, it's got even worse because now they're being poisoned, I mean, really systemically poisoned, with immunizations. So you get a bunch of kids, their brains have been damaged from mercury. Their brains have been damaged because they've had cytokine storms. They've had all these problems from a neurological standpoint in their development because of the immunizations they've been given, the vaccines, because they're not really immunizations. They don't get immunized. They're just getting a vaccine. In other words, they can still come down with measles after they've had the measles vaccine. So we have to understand something. It's a big, big problem. And now it's multi-tier because now we're giving them GMO foods. We're giving them foods that have been soaked in glyphosate. They've got all kinds of bacterial problems in their intestinal tract from the fact that we're giving them things like sucralose, which is a chlorinated hydrocarbon, which is basically a pesticide. We're giving them all kinds of other poison with high fructose corn syrup in it that's all been sprayed with glyphosate. I mean, this is the problem we have now. We have all of these kids that are being poisoned because remember, one of the primary things they want to do is to reduce the population of the planet. It's one of their stated goals. And one of the ways they want to do that is through all of the things we just mentioned. In addition to that, the autism has gone off the charts now. It's 1 in 40, 1 in 50, depending on who you read, with the MIT professor saying that by 2025, which is, what, 8 years from now, that we're going to have 1 in 2 kids with autism. Another professor saying that by 2037, all boys will have it, all girls will have autism. I mean, this is a complete and total concentrated effort to basically dumb down the population and massively reduce the birth. So it's happening, and it's happening very, very quickly. So yes, anytime you can take a kid out of that classroom setting and you get them some recess and you can let them focus, it's going to help them a lot. You throw some cod liver oil in there and some supplements to get them off the red dyes, the blue dyes, the glyphosate, yep, GMOs, and all the other things on top of that, chances are you won't even have a problem with these kids having ADD or ADHD because their body's getting the nutrients that it needs. Remember, ADD and ADHD is a symptom of something else going on in most cases. Now, here's the thing. Ritalin and Adderall don't correct it. They don't correct the problem. They only treat the symptom. They may ameliorate the symptoms. That's how the term they use. In other words, the kid now has been drugged into a stupor, so he no longer shows the symptoms. But the same toxicity is still there. The same deficiencies are still there. The difference is you don't see them anymore because they've been drugged. And see, these are Schedule II drugs. These are in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol. These aren't M&Ms we're giving these kids. These are strong, strong drugs, the strongest classification a drug can have and still be considered legal in the United States. They're in the same category with morphine. Okay, remember that. So when you give this to a young child, you're going to massively affect their brain development. Period. Done. Game over. Stick a fork in it. That's why the United States military, if you've been on Adderall or Ritalin for any length of time, they will not allow you to serve in the armed forces of the United States. They don't want somebody who's been addicted to something as close to methamphetamines as you can possibly get without being methamphetamines in the military who are addicted to stimulants. And that's what these things are, stimulants. But in the developing brain, they have the exact opposite effect, and they calm the child down because they really decrease synaptic function and they decrease the connections being produced in the brain. They dumb the children down because they basically put them into a stupor. They should never be used unless it's an absolutely last resort emergency. The kid's trying to burn the school down, won't stop getting in fights, won't stop beating up the teacher, all of this kind of stuff. Now, that's different. If you've got a child that's that crazy, probably from immunizations, by the way, you need to just realize that kid probably needs to be in special needs anyhow. And in special needs kids, of course, most of them are heavily medicated. So I just wanted to put my little two cents in on that, Austin. But by the way, Target stocks. Gotta love Target. They want a transgender bathrooms. Target stocks are now down $15 billion since promoting the transgender agenda. Good for them. This is from Breitbart. Target stock value is now down by 30% since it sparked a customer boycott, and we still boycott Target, by embracing the transgender political agenda. That 30% drop has slashed investors' wealth by roughly $15 billion. On Tuesday, the stock fell again to $58.78, down from its April 19th high of $83. In contrast, Walmart is up a little bit, and so is Kohl's. But the whole thing about it is guys, keep boycotting Target and keep boycotting Starbucks too. The only way to make these people shut up about their stupid, perverted agendas is to stop giving them your money and stop supporting them. That's it. That's it. It's the only way to do it.
Yep.
You know, if you keep giving them money, they'll think they're doing right. Okay, what's your next story?
I want to give you a start on that with Starbucks. I've told so many people that every time I see that somewhere, I'm always going, you must hate gun rights. I said that to somebody the other day. What do you mean? I mean, you're drinking Starbucks. Well, no, I got a pistol. I said, why are you supporting them then? I mean, that's like saying you're giving money to North Korea because you like the food they produce, but you don't mind of everything else they do. If you don't like something somebody is doing, if you're diametrically opposed to their ideology, if you can't stand their behavior that they're engaged in, why would you continue to give them money and support their business and keep helping them with everything they're doing? That's what you're doing, guys. When you're going to these stores and giving them money and doing all this stuff, you're directly supporting and saying, it's okay, your deviant behavior is okay with me, your absolutely perverted ideology is okay with me, I'm still going to give you my hard-earned money for your crap coffee because I don't care, and I'm too ignorant to see exactly what I'm doing. That's pretty much what you're saying. So vote with your dollars, guys. I haven't shopped at Target at all. And I'm getting a ton of feedback from you, Dad.
I'm sorry, Austin. I have no idea.
I just realized that.
Okay. Set back on. Heaven forbid I got it.
Anyway, in other news now, that we also, too, vitamin D is becoming more and more notable that it's incredibly effective at almost everything. And we've had so many articles on the website, guys, on vitamin D. You guys remember a couple years ago, Dr. John Cannell, founder of the Vitamin D Council, did a published in a journal in 2006 and in 2008 about vitamin D and how effective it is at preventing influenza or the flu. The following year, the largest nationally representative study of its kind to date discovered people with the lowest vitamin D levels indeed reported having significantly more colds or cases of the flu. The lead author, Dr. Adit Ganan, stated, "The findings of our study support an important role for vitamin D in prevention of common respiratory infections such as colds and the flu. Individuals with common lung diseases such as asthma and emphysema may be particularly susceptible to respiratory infections from vitamin D deficiency. Since then, a number of studies have come to the exact same conclusions. Most recently, a scientific review of 25 randomized controlled trials confirmed that vitamin D supplementation boosts immunity and cuts rates of cold and flu. The studies included nearly 11,000 individuals from more than a dozen countries. As the report states, people who took daily or weekly vitamin D supplements were less likely to report acute respiratory infections like influenza or the common cold than those who did not. So this is something, guys, I've talked about. So is that. Optimizing your D3 levels, in my opinion, is one of the absolute best flu prevention and health strategies available. Forget the flu shot. Forget all this garbage they want to inject you with. Every person I talk to, with rare exception, that ends up getting the flu shot gets the flu right after that, every single time. So my question is always this, and I've brought this up before. Nobody can ever answer it to me. Where's the flu start from? Who starts it? There's got to be patient zero. Who starts the flu? Because it goes away for, what, 5, 6, 7 months, they always say, and then it comes back at wintertime. Well, how do we know that every year they're not intentionally causing the flu to come back, even though that natural nutrition has exploded in the last 20 to 30 years with our knowledge on vitamin C and D3? Why do we still keep getting the flu every single year? And this is just hypothesis on my part, but we inject tens of millions of people every single year in the United States with the flu vaccine, and then everybody gets the flu right after they get the shot. So my question is, why don't you just not get the shot? If you get the flu, you still get the flu. If you don't get the shot and you don't get the flu, hey, you didn't get the flu. But why do you knowingly want to inject yourself with an influenza vaccine that you pretty much are going to be guaranteed is going to give you the flu? Right here, there's dozens of clinical studies that I just pointed out that show without question that high levels of vitamin D directly reduce the chance of getting the flu. So it's easy enough. The 5,000 IU we have is a base dosage one, and we have the 10,000 K2, which helps with the absorption as well. The 10,000 one some people take every day when they're trying to get their levels up high. A lot of people can get away with it every other day, is usually what I do. For the price of it, $29 a bottle for unbelievably high quality vitamin D, and being able to use that for months and months on end for one bottle and more than likely prevent the chance of getting some type of cold like that is very, very cheap insurance at my point, Dad. And I really wish we could somehow get the insurance companies in with the new healthcare system, if it goes in, to help subsidize a lot of natural nutrition. Because if you guys got to think about this, if insurance companies started paying for high quality vitamins, vitamin D, vitamin C, omega-3s, and doctors actually got their head out of the sand and started recommending these nutrients, it would be incredible the results we'd have from a healthier standpoint with the entire country. Oh, but then again, the pharmaceutical industries and the hospital industrial complex wouldn't make their hundreds of billions of dollars every year off everybody. So I guess that's probably why that hasn't happened yet, Dad.
Okay, wow, you just said so much. I got to comment on some of that. Okay, the D3K2, I take, that's the one I take, and here's why. If you're over like 30 years of age, I wouldn't take the D3 by itself. I would take the D3K2, and here's why. The K2 prevents the calcification arterial hardening. So what happens is you can actually calcify your arteries with high dosing of D3 if you don't keep yourself blood monitored. That doesn't happen with K2s added to it. Most supplements do not contain the K2. Our 10,000 IU contains the K2 automatically because it's such a high dosing. In Europe now, we can't even send the D3K2 over there because they don't like to sell more than 100 IU dosing. Ours is 10,000, so it's like taking, 100 of these pills, right? So this is the thing that we have. We have a super high concentration in that product. Plus, our D3, remember, D3 acts like a hormone in the body, so it's really important not to go with synthetic vitamin D3. We use sheep's wool lanolin in the D3 that we use. It's basically from sheep's wool. That's how we have it manufactured, because what it does, it gives us the highest quality product that we can do as far as a
control standard, because we want to make sure that since we're giving you a product that's this high potency, I mean, good grief, you get a 100 IU bottle and you're paying $9.95 for it and you're getting 100 capsules in there, that's 10,000. That's like taking one of our capsules. That's what they're charging you for, $10 for one of our capsules, okay? And we have a bunch of, I don't know, what is our capsule count in our bottle, Austin? Do you have it there in front of you?
I think it's either 60 or 90. Give me a second here and I'll pull up the screen. But it's a substantial amount of 10,000 IUs.
Well, let me give you an example. Just about 2 weeks ago, I had a pastor call me up from Tampa, an hour drive from here. And they live in Plant City about 30 minutes from here. And he called me up and his wife had been deathly ill. I mean, deathly ill to the point of hospitalization for almost 3 weeks. And he had heard me speak. I'd spoken for them before at their church. And he called me up and he says, Ted, I don't know what to do. What do you recommend? I got to take her somewhere. And I said, well, what's the problem? He told me. I said, oh, okay. I said, I can fix this almost immediately. He says, Ted, she's like bedridden. She's like deathly, deathly ill. I said, that's okay. So he came over. I put him on D3, K2, got him on the astragalus, got him on the vitamin C, you know, got him on the potassium iodine, all these things for the immune system, got him on some turmeric. And I said, just take this. I told him exactly what to take. And I said, and tomorrow call me up and you'll tell me how much better she's feeling, how much she's doing unbelievably good in 24 hours. He goes, you're kidding me. 24 hours? I said, yeah. He goes, well, what about lab tests and all the other things we have to do? And I said, no, they have to do all that. And he goes, I said, just do this. And I said, now if this doesn't work, then we may have to do something else. We may have to do some type of medical intervention model. And I may need to send you to a medical doctor who specializes in this for vitamin C intravenously, that kind of stuff. But right now, let's try this. It's a lot less money. That's a lot easier. He said, okay. So he trusted because they know me and I've known him for years. And so next day he calls me back and he goes, I can't believe how good she's doing. She's doing absolutely wonderful. But anyhow, she went and had one of her medical doctor people go ahead and do an exam on her anyhow, like a week later when she's already feeling great. And they started doing all of these unnecessary tests on her again, like they always do. And they called me up today and they said, you know, we're so confused. You know, she's feeling great. She's absolutely healthy again. But now they want her on this drug and that drug and this drug and that drug. And I started laughing. And I said, that's what they do. That's what they're trained to do. I said, I'm a naturopath. That's what I was trained to do. I said, they're a medical doctor. That's what they were trained to do. I said, I've learned to use supplements and dietary changes and lifestyle changes to correct a lot of different types of conditions. They're not trained that way. In fact, a lot of these guys, they don't live very long either because they have heart attacks in their 40s and 50s. They have an average life expectancy probably of 57 years, according to some of the top researchers. I mean, because they don't practice what they preach. A lot of them smoke cigarettes. It just goes on and on. A lot of them drink alcohol. I mean, I'm talking like get drunk every night, drink alcohol. See, that's the thing. If you come to my house here in Central Florida, and many of you have, gosh, a bunch of you guys listening to the show on a regular basis, you've been here a bunch of times. In fact, Kevin Jordan, my dear friend of 30 years out of South Carolina, he listens to the show every day. He's got a bunch of pastors up there in South Carolina. He owns Alarm Alert, by the way, if you guys ever need alarm work done in your homes or your businesses. He's the one to call. He's there in Florida, South Carolina. He's been to have my house many, many times. And he's just a dear, dear friend of mine. He'll tell you when he comes here, if you ask Kevin, does Ted really do this? He goes, well, yeah, he actually does a lot more than he tells you guys on the telephone. The other morning he was here, I was having a protein shake. I got like 15 ingredients in this protein shake. And he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm making my breakfast. And he goes, really? I said, yeah, I do this every single morning. And I really do. I mean, it's got the organic blueberries in it, all this other kind of stuff. You know, it's got all of our products in it. And he says, wow. He goes, well, I tasted it. I said, taste it. I said, sure. Now, he didn't want a whole glass of it, but I would have made him a glass if he wanted that. Because one time I remember I had something over here and I was making one of these shakes. They're pretty expensive. And I was making this shake and a lady was trying it. You know, her name was Tamara. And I'll never forget this. I made enough for two people. You know, I mean, we're talking organic everything. And it's big. I gave her like a 26, 28 ounce tumbler full of it because she said she was hungry. She took one sip out of it, one sip, dumped it right down the garbage disposal. Says, I don't like this. Whoop, there it went. And I thought to myself, whoa, it's gone. That was expensive. And that's why when people come here, I always let them taste stuff. Now, I think the shake tastes great, personally. And I can make a shake that tastes like a Frosty at Wendy's if I want. But the problem is you got to use too many frozen bananas for that. And it's just too much fructose and too many carbohydrates. So I don't make a lot of those anymore, though I used to like to do those when I was younger, when I worked out so hard. Or if I want to just get a good carbohydrate push, I could do that. But guys, listen to me for a second. I practice what I preach. You see our pictures on our bottles. You see our pictures online. I mean, you see Austin. My gosh, she looks like a statue. I mean, he looks so good. I mean, so this is what we do. We practice what we preach at Health Masters. And yes, people are always saying, are you really 61 years old? Yes, I really am 61 years old. And yes, I am medication free. I don't believe in all that stuff. And there's always a natural way to correct conditions. So yes, D3, absolutely critical, especially this time of the year when we have so many places in the country that have very little sunshine, Austin. D3 is absolutely critical to avoid the flu. Good story, bud.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to touch base on it, because I've been hearing about it so much lately about people getting the flu. And so everybody's, oh, yeah, flu shot this, flu shot. Walgreens, they have their big sign out by the road the other day I drove by. Get your free flu shot here. And see, it's funny. They don't say influenza vaccine. They don't ever say that. They say flu shot. That way it just sounds like, oh, it's to prevent the flu. It's the shot that prevents the flu. They make it sound very, very low-key, very mild. They don't bother to tell you it still has thimerosal in it. They're pumping mercury into your body, which already right there is a known neurotoxin, toxic to every living element on Earth. Mercury is toxic, and they're injecting it right into your body via hypodermic needle, and then everybody wonders why they feel like crap and get sick after they get the flu shot. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure a lot of that out. But
one more comment. Okay, you say all this stuff, it's so cool. I gotta add to it. Flu shots, 3 flu shots in a row increase the risk of senile dementia by over 50%. I'll repeat that. 3 flu shots in a row because of the mercury increases the risks of senile dementia and Alzheimer's disease by over 50%. So guys, I don't do flu shots. Go get off. So what's your next story?
Oh, yeah. Well, advocates now are renewing the push for legalizing raw milk in Hawaii, which, quite frankly, it's sad that a lot of this stuff has ever even been, you know, controlled, making it illegal to buy raw milk. But they're actually trying to push it in Hawaii now and get it legal. Also, too, there's legislators that are on the table now in 42 other states in some form or another to try and legalize raw milk again, because they're starting to realize that the pasteurization and homogenization process is not what everybody thought about it. The absorption ability, the health negative effects of homogenized milk is starting to become more and more mainstream as we've gone into detail on this show. I actually even have an article up on our website that I put up there quite a while back on the actual dangers and truth of pasteurized milk, the deadly truth about pasteurized milk. It's on the website at healthmasters.com if you guys want to read it. And that will go into detail, because I still hear so many people always talk about, oh, yeah, well, I just use, you know, regular cow's milk. It's still good for you.
No.
Guys, the mainstream media telling you to drink cow's milk, regular store-bought, pasteurized, homogenized cow's milk is one of the worst compounds you could put in your body. Absolutely horrific. You can go, like I said, I don't want to take up the whole show, because quite frankly, I could do an hour show just on milk. But if you want to read about it, go on the website at Health Masters. There's a reason why 42 states now are trying to re-legalize it, and Hawaii is in the process of trying to do so right now, Dad. But I thought that was kind of cool that it looks like some of these guys are actually starting to wake up and not restrict our access to raw milk, which to me, that already, just even saying that almost makes me laugh. But it is what it is. We've allowed these guys to do this with their tyrannical laws and forced it down our throats, and everybody's accepted it. So it's time now that we start taking a lot of these laws back and start repealing a lot of these statutes, because a lot of them have absolutely no useful purpose whatsoever in our society as far as for health or nutrition, whatever. All it does is make it harder for law-abiding citizens to get good quality products that they actually want and need and should have complete legal right to buy them.
All over Europe, you have raw milk stands. I mean, all over, especially in France. I mean, raw milk. You have raw milk. You just go buy raw milk. I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, you know, I know states that it's legal, you know, where the Amish sell raw milk. I mean, it's wonderful when you can do that, because as long as the dairy stays clean and the teats stay clean and the equipment stays clean and everything's done right, there's no problem with milk. It's a very good product. But when you pasteurize it, you end up killing an enzyme called phosphatase, which helps the body to absorb the calcium. Then when you homogenize, you break it down into smaller molecules so the fat doesn't separate. That massively increases the risks of heart disease with milk. And then when you give young children straight cow's milk, straight bad cow's milk from the store, you massively increase the risks of adult 1 type diabetes, juvenile diabetes, which there is no cure for. And yes, you heard me say that right. Juvenile diabetes has been linked to the drinking of pasteurized, homogenized, non-organic milk, period. So it's not something that we ever even put into our bodies. You have never had that at our house, Austin. We simply don't do that. I mean, we learned a long time ago, especially with bovine growth hormone, that why do you want to take a good shot of estrogen in your milk? I mean, it's ridiculous how bad that stuff is. So I try to stay away from milk in general because it makes me kind of mucousy, unless I drink some raw milk if I'm out of state or I can find a place that sells it, especially goat's milk. Goat's milk, if you can get it without the goat being around, it tastes pretty good without the he-goat being around, the male goat. But sometimes it can get kind of a goaty taste to it. But good goat's milk tastes pretty good. It's actually much closer to a human's milk than basically cow's milk is. Oh, by the way, the new Trump travel order ban is expecting to come in days, is according to Vice President Pence. He says that President Donald Trump plans to finalize a new order limiting travel to the United States in the coming days. His vice president said on Wednesday after federal courts blocked the administration's earlier ban. The administration has said it will likely hit the new directive will exclude legal permanent residents, making it harder for the opponents to challenge the ban. Pence did not elaborate on the Verizon directive. One more thing. This is from Reuters. Now, remember, Reuters is a Rothschild's news agency, but this is probably true. Trump's administration has found only $20 million in existing funds for the wall that they're going to be building. Remember, Congress has to approve and appropriate the money if you can't find it in another department. The rapid start of construction promised throughout Trump's campaign and in an executive order issued in January on border security was to be financed, according to the White House, with existing funds and resources. Yeah, go ahead and find an extra $10 billion laying around of the Department of Homeland Security. But so far, the DHS has only found $20 million that can be redirected to the multi-billion dollar project, which is only good for setting up a few prototypes and basically a handful of contracts. It'll never start the actual forward progression of the wall. That means for the wall to move forward, the White House will need to convince Congress, there we go, to appropriate the funds, which it needs to do. All they have to do, Austin, is going to take 2 years to build it, take $5 billion from the money they pay the illegals each year. That's all they've got to do. If this is so simple that we spend tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars a year in illegals in the country right now, take $5 billion this year, $5 billion next year. It's going to take 2 years to build a thing anyhow and get it done, build this giant wall, and be done with it. If you don't know how to build a wall, go look at the pictures of the wall in Israel, in Gaza, in Palestine, and you see that 50-foot behemoth they put up with turrets about every quarter of a mile. You can learn how to build a wall. That's a good picture of a wall if you really want that type of security. And, of course, that's worked very well for Israel. So, guys, yes, we need a wall. Yes, it needs to be built immediately. And, yes, it was a campaign promise. And, yes, now Congress has to approve it also. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you look at a lot of the actual facts online about what we actually spend, because there's so many variables and how much we spend on welfare with illegal immigration in the United States. But so far, from what I have looked at, it's anywhere between 11 to 22 billion is spent on welfare on illegal aliens each and every year. 11 to 22. So there's a big discrepancy there. But regardless, if it's 11 billion, that's half of the wall in 1 year. So that's 2 years, that's the wall. If it's 22 billion, that's 1 year. So you're absolutely right. These are just things that need to be cut, and they could be cut immediately. The fact that we're actually giving people that come here illegally that aren't learning our heritage, aren't learning our ethics or our morals or our values, and aren't even trying to integrate into society here properly and legally, and we're turning around and giving them between $11 to $22 billion a year boggles my mind. And on top of that, we even release a lot of these guys that are full criminals. I saw the congressional hearing on YouTube again the other day from 2015, and it boggled my mind to hear the numbers again. And I pulled it up and just want to kind of reiterate what we're doing in this country and why everybody's fussing about how we're going to pay for this wall. Dad's exactly right. All we have to do is stop supporting and funding all of this nonsense with these illegals coming in here, giving them free room, free board, free food, free insurance, free housing, free education, free everything, and a lot of them don't pay a dime in taxes. The U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, ICE, in 2015 decided not to deport but release 19,723 criminal illegal immigrants. Those are including 208 of those were convicted, not charged, convicted of murder. Over 900 were convicted of sex crimes, and 12,307 were convicted of drunk driving. Overall, those released in virtually every state and territory of America has a total of a 64,197 convictions among those 19,000 illegals, for an average of 3.25 convictions on each person. ICE also said the group were convicted of 8,234 violent crimes. This is what we're doing right now. This has been an absolute intentional demise of this country. Let the people come in, subsidize them. When they commit crimes, convict them, and then we don't even throw them in jail. We release them, and we don't even release them and deport them back to their own country. We release them back into society where they're going to do it over and over and over again, etc. I hear the Bureau of Justice Statistics, approximately 71% of the violent offender criminal aliens would reoffend within 1 year. 77% would reoffend of drug offenders, and 82% property offenders, and another 80% of drunk driving, which means there's a very, 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 very high probability when these guys are released back into society within 1 year, they're going to commit the exact same type of crime they did to get arrested the first time. And guess what? Why wouldn't they? They're convicted criminals. They don't get charged. They don't get deported. They don't go to prison. So you get busted for murder or rape or drunk driving. You get convicted. Then all of a sudden the judge goes, well, we're not going to deport you. We're not going to throw you in prison. We're just going to release you again. You're going to go, yippee, yippee-ki-yay. This is fun. this is an awesome country. They pay me to be here, and I don't even go to jail when I commit crimes. This is fantastic. I should tell all my gangs to come up here and all my squads of drug dealers and drug cartels. Let's bring them all in. This is a great place to be. We can just trash this country out too. Guys, I'm being kind of sarcastic here, but this is the lunacy we're dealing with these guys. And that's why it has to change. That's why Trump has been so adamant about this, and he has to be, because until we control this within, everything else going around this country is going to completely implode on itself. That's why this whole $20 billion wall that they want to spend is chump change compared to what we're spending on illegal aliens every year with judges, court times, all this stuff with welfare. So, yeah, I kind of went off on a rabbit trail there, Dad. But, yeah, $20 billion for this wall, that's a joke. If Congress doesn't approve this and they can't get it to go through, then it just goes to show you the globalists don't want it to go through, which I'm pretty confident that's what's going on right now.
Probably. Oh, by the way, the Democrats actually booed Trump when he gave a proposal to give a voice to victims of immigrant crime the other night. I watched this thing. I didn't want to talk about that because it was, you know, kind of yuck, but I thought this is ridiculous. But during Trump's address to Congress on Tuesday, the Democrats physically yelled and screamed and booed his proposal to give a voice to victims of immigrant crime. He said, we must support the victims of immigrant crime, Trump said, have ordered the Department of Homeland Security to create an office to serve American victims. I mean, he said, we are providing a voice to those who have been ignored by our media and silenced by special interests that Democrats heard booing loudly in response. Okay, let me tell you something. If you're an idiot Democrat and you were there and you're listening to the show today, here's the deal. These people are drunk drivers. They kill people. They can kill your children as well as they can kill somebody else's children. These people don't care who they kill when they're drunk drivers driving down the highway, or when the gangs rape your daughters or your kids or your children, or they gang rape them. They don't care. So this is what he's trying to say, is we've got a problem with these drugs, these dealers, and these guys that have been released back into our society. We need to round them up and get rid of these guys. It's so very important that we do that. Now, one more article I want to cover real quick, though, also I'll let you have the rest of the show, is finally showing that, well, there's two. Standard osteoporosis drug is making bones weaker. We already know that. Bisphosphonates are routinely given to elderly. It's like Fosamax, anti-cancer patients, to help protect bones. But now research has discovered they're actually increasing the risks of fracture, which I've told you guys that years in my health letters. And also The Blaze wrote an article that says they're having an empty stroller walk on March the 5th that it says the most horrible experience of any parent, even a grandparent, can experience is the death of a beloved child, especially an infant or a toddler. The death is even more overwhelming when one realizes the child had succumbed following a vaccine or series of vaccinations given to the baby at well baby visits at a time when pediatricians push vaccines. Too many infants, toddlers, and children of all ages experienced extremely serious adverse reactions to vaccines, which the medical profession says is normal. Okay. This Sunday, March the 5th, will be observed as a day of remembrance. Remember all of the children, the hundreds of thousands of children have been lost to vaccines around the world and by their parents and by their grandparents participating in the empty stroller walk down Main Street, USA, wherever you live. The walk is the idea of grieving grandmother Sherry Fratty, who lost her granddaughter Bella to vaccinations. Wow. Austin, man. I appreciate you, bud. I'm going to go ahead and run off the summary for today's show. I got to cut out a little bit early today. I'm still prepping for Hagman tonight. God bless you guys. Thanks for getting your vitamins from us. Thanks for getting your multiples from us. Thanks for getting your D3 from us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the incredible response we had from yesterday's show. My gosh, you guys can send some emails when you want. Thanks for letting us know what you liked the show yesterday. Tremendous response yesterday. I hope you guys have supported the Robert David Steele, his website. I appreciate you guys. Love you so much. Austin, it's all yours.
Yeah, and speaking of illegal immigration now, you know, we've seen what's been going on in Sweden, even though the mainstream media wants to act like it's all fake, nothing's happening over there. Well, a Swedish detective now has come out and blatantly blamed the violent crime on the migrants that he's personally seen, and also to the politicians that are blatantly turning a blind eye because of political correctness. Peter Springer, who has spent more than 40 years in the police force and as a Swedish detective, aired his anger on social media last week when he was told not to record the ethnicity of violent crime suspects. He apparently was trying to write in another report on a situation that happened with two or three migrants brutally beating somebody and robbing them, and he was told not to put their ethnicity down on the report so it would not get filed, and he apparently flipped out, which I can't blame him at all. He said countries representing the weekly crimes on a weekly basis all year. Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Syria, Afghanistan, Somalia, Syria again, Somalia again, Syria again, Somalia, unknown, unknown, Sweden. So out of all those on a regular weekly basis, Sweden had one crime for one person that was basically Swedish origin. He said half the suspects, we can't even be sure that they even have valid papers or where they actually are or their legitimate age. He said, which is itself usually means that they're lying about their nationality and identity. He told the Sunday Times the highest and most extreme violence, including rapes, shootings, and stabbings, is dominated by criminal immigrants in Sweden now. So, lest you thought the mainstream media was just not reporting on it because it wasn't happening, it's an absolute lie. That's what's going on over there. That's what they're trying to do here in this country. They've been doing a very, very good job at bringing these guys in for the last decade now, completely unchecked and unvetted, and we see how that's working out for us. Also, in other news, some high-tech warfare news. This is really interesting. China now went to the International Defense Exhibition and Conference in Dubai and flaunted a high-tech weaponry, actually quite a few of them, a new one that they just rolled out now. Polytechnologies out of China showed off the Silent Hunter, which is one of the world's most powerful laser weapons ever invented. Now, the same thing we've said, guys, before, when they start rolling this stuff out at exhibitions and defense and contract shows, they've already had this stuff out, and more than likely they have much more stronger weapons that they don't even show. But this one's pretty wild because these are actually, they're giving numbers to legitimate stuff that's already on the books, that's already being used with laser weapons. It's stating that the claimed output of this Silent Hunter now is 70,000 kilowatts of laser power, which will make it the most powerful laser weapon so far on the books, more powerful than the 33 kilowatt laser weapon currently deployed on the USS Ponce. The laser is probably based on a smaller anti-drone laser, the Low Altitude Guard. And they're saying here that this one, the Silent Hunter, uses a new fiber optic laser, which provides weight savings over chemical lasers through increasing optical gain by kilometers of coiled fiber optics. And what's pretty wild about this is, so I'm looking at the photo of it here, and they said that with the 70 kilowatts of laser power on here, it's strong enough to cut through armored vehicles such as MRAPs up to a kilometer away. The International Institute of Strategic Studies recently came out with a report that China is near parity with Western nations in terms of defense technology. So this is stuff, guys, they're throwing on the table and telling everybody to look at these defense shows. So I wonder what else they have. But a 70-kilowatt laser weapon that they're saying can cut through armored vehicles in a kilometer away, this is why, guys, we've talked about before, the F-18, the F-22, the F-35, all this stuff is not progressing, and it's just turning numbers, black op money. It's just disappearing funds. When you have laser weapons that can cut armored vehicles away from a kilometer away, granted, these fighter jets are incredible tools, and they are still very effective at what they do, very effective. When you start having technology like this come out, and they start having lasers that I'm sure even are even further, they have the space-based weapon platforms now, the fighter jets are antiquated. They really are. They're cool. They're still effective, as I said, but they're very antiquated. So I thought that was kind of cool today when I read that. Just this is what they're coming out with. This is what they're showing us that they have. Want to know? I wonder if I can get my hands on one of those. Just kidding. I know there's not that's not something really plausible for civilian usage. But anyways, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for all the emails this week. Getting a ton of feedback from everybody. The show yesterday was awesome. A lot of really fast-paced info, and it was really good to have somebody else on the show that could really contribute a lot to a lot of the things that we say. You know, Dad and I constantly go back and forth on different things that we have in different articles, but I know a lot of our listeners like to hear other people's opinions. Robert had a lot of work that he's been doing for the last couple of years. Same thing on Monday when we talked about the chemtrails, because these are things that really need to be addressed. We want to get them out on the platform with our show. We're trying to get other people to forward them. That's why we're sending the shows out every day. So if you guys know anybody that would be interested in this, maybe you can wake them up, or maybe they're already awake, forward our shows. Try and get it out there. Get more people to listen to it. Wake as many people up as we can, because that's one of the biggest things we can do without any significant violent resistance, because that is the last ditch effort. That's something none of us are going to want to engage in. But if we can start getting the word out and getting people awakened to what's really going on, that's going to be one of the strongest things we can do. Also, too, letting you guys know the joint rebuilding formula. I talked about it briefly yesterday. We sold a plethora of them today already. Really, really cool product. Also, if I've had some people ask me about taking it for to preventing knee replacement surgery. Yes, we use it for that, but it needs to be coupled with a couple other products, including the cod liver oil and the Great Lakes hydrosylate gelatin. That's on our website. Both of them are on there. We have them in stock at all times with the joint rebuilding formula. Those three have to go together. If you're really to the point where you need knee replacement surgery and you're trying to prevent it, you have to take all three of those in conjunction. There's a very synergistic effect. If you're doing it for overall joint health, if you have some joint pain, if you have some cartilage you're trying to rebuild, the joint rebuilding formula by itself works incredibly good. So just wanted to throw that out there. It's on sale for, I think, over 20% off till next week. Really, really big sale on that product. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night. Enjoy the Hagman Show with Dad tonight, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.